I Am the One, Entrepreneur Edition, is brought to you by Try Business School. Get your free mini course, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business, over at iamtheone.fm/blueprint.
I'm Renita Bryant, and I am the one.
Entrepreneur Edition, a show that explores the journeys of business owners who decided to be the one to make life better for the people they serve. I'm your host, Sonia Thompson, and today's guest is Renita Bryant. Renita is the founder of SiteSet, a consumer-centric consultancy that helps brands uncover the insights they need to make the decisions they need to grow their businesses. She's also the founder of Mind Matters Publishing, where she helps current and aspiring authors launch their book projects. We can learn a ton from Renita, in particular, the superpower she's committed to employing that's enabled her to build not one, but two successful businesses. But before we dive into the interview, I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by Try Business School, which is all about helping you get the customers you want and keep them coming back for more. And to help you with that, I've got a new mini course for you, The Blueprint for Building a Thriving Business. Now, this framework comes from lessons learned from more than 100 entrepreneurs and is combined with science-backed data that helps explain why the principles are so important to you. So head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint to get instant access to your first lesson in the free mini course today. All right, let's get to it. Here's Renita.
Hello, Renita. Thank you so much for joining me today. How are you?
Sonia, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, well, let's go ahead and dive right in. Tell me about your business. You've got actually two businesses, SiteSet and Mind Matters. You're busy.
Yes, to say the least. I do. So both are actually consumer-centric consultancies. And when you think about SiteSet, it's more so focused on consumer insights, marketing strategy for B2C. And then when you think about publishing or Mind Matters, it's really about publishing and helping aspiring or current authors kind of remove the complexity and confusion in the publishing industry so they can get their stories out there.
All right. So both sound super cool. Consumer-centric consulting. Say that three times fast, right?
I know, right?
All right. So tell me, what is the specific problem that you solve for the people you serve for each of those?
Well, really, is the way I think about it is helping people go from being stuck to unstuck. So when you think about publishing, a lot of times, you know, anybody can kind of write a book, publish their book, right? Mm-hmm. With all of these self-publishing tools, all of the boutique firms, especially ebooks. And so it's really about helping people understand that it's really not that complex. Mm-hmm. It's really not as confusing. And even though it seems simple, even though it seems like anybody can do it, you know, if you're really a writer that has a story that you want to get out there, most times you're very close to it. You have a connection to it and you're afraid to release it. You're afraid to put it out there. You're afraid of what people are going to say.
Right.
And so it's not just about, you know, removing the complexity in publishing, which is what a lot of these tools did, but it's also being able to hold somebody's hand and give them kind of verbal hugs when they mm-hmm. need it. But then also kind of the finger wags when they need that as well, that says, you know, hey, you know, we have a timeline, let's stick to it. So you're kind of a confidant, a guide. You're all of those things at one time. And so really for us with publishing, it's about saying, hey, let's get you from where you are to where you ultimately want to be. With SiteSet, it is helping these companies that have a business question, try to get those questions answered. So they're still stuck. They're either stuck because they think they have a solution or think they know the answer and they need to confirm it, or they have no answer and they just have this brand or this business and they're trying to figure out, okay, what do I do with this? And I don't really know what my client or my consumers want.
Got it. Got it. That was a lot, but super helpful. So what made you decide that you were going to be the one to solve these problems? Because I know a lot of us as entrepreneurs could probably use those virtual hugs and virtual finger wags often. So what made you decide that you were going to be the one to do it?
So for me, it was it's interesting because with Sight Said, it was really training, right? It was experiences, all of this knowledge that I have. I graduated from college and went on and worked at these global companies, a couple of different large global companies, and so it was. I learned how to manage consumer insights. I learned how to manage brands from training. But then with publishing, it was really about passion. And so one was born out of what I was taught to do, and one was really born out of what I, was passionate about doing or what I really wanted to do.
Okay. All
Not
right.
that I didn't want to do insights. It was just, they're just different. They just came about in very different ways.
Got
And
it.
so for me, I just felt like, wow, you know what? I want to address some of these needs. I want to start a business. I want to be able to do this in a way that I know I can be effective. And that's kind of how I made the decision.
Sweet. All right. Well, let's switch gears a little bit and talk more about your experiences as an entrepreneur. And I'm sure you've got lots of good stories running two businesses. So, what would you say was the biggest mindset barrier that you had to deal with, and how did you overcome it?
It's probably one that a lot of entrepreneurs deal with. It was thinking that I wasn't enough, right? Not just that I wasn't enough, my experiences weren't enough. The journey that I'd been on in my life wasn't enough. What I knew wasn't enough. What I'd been taught or trained wasn't enough. And so I just felt like it was a mindset shift to start to feel, and I think you always struggle with it, right? But to start to feel as though, you know enough. At least at this point, you know some good stuff. You know a lot more than some other people out there, right? And to really start believing in what I'd experienced and what I knew to be true, and what I had always known to be true. And I think that was something that took me a little bit of time to kind of get over and deal with.
Now, I know, what you talk about as being enough, and a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with it. I think they say about 70% of entrepreneurs or people who are high achievers experience imposter syndrome at some point. You've worked with some pretty large companies with Sight Set. Was there anything specific you had to do? Because even though you felt those, feelings of maybe inadequacy a little bit, you still were able to go in and land those deals and work with them instead of, not even going after them. So was there anything in particular you had to do to say, all right, we're just gonna do this anyway?
I was talking to a friend of mine that's launching her business next month, and I told her you have to be a little bit like you have to think you're special or unique, or you have to have a little bit of ego, right, to just believe that you can launch something and you can make a difference and you can create something that's innovative and is new to the market, and you can do it in a way that's going to get people to pay you money for it, right? And so I think I had enough of that. I had enough of the ego and the confidence. So in the back of my mind, it was, the imposter syndrome. But in terms of being client facing, I guess I believed enough to get me over the hurdle. And then also had a great support system. Also had people that were telling me, you can do this, you can be this, believe in yourself. And so having people that told me that, I could do it, also helped me. And then sometimes you just throw yourself out there and still don't believe you can do it, but you don't have a choice when you get the phone call, right? So you kind of have to respond. You're sitting there in front of a client that's called you, and they've asked for this meeting with you. And as much as you may think, maybe I shouldn't be the person that's in the room, something got like they wanted you, they chose you. So something kind of helps you get over that a little bit.
Got it. All right, well, let's talk about your habits a little bit. Is there any one habit or suite of habits that lets you operate efficiently and not drop any of the balls for all the ones that you've got going on in the air?
So I'm in terms of habits and not dropping balls. So one of the things is that I'm very big on a to-do list. So I'm always about writing things down, checking them twice, checking things off. Maybe that I remember reading a lot about that in terms of feeling a sense of accomplishment, which that also gives you, right? So I'm one of those people, you do something, and if it wasn't on the to-do list, you go back and write on the to-do list just to check it off. Yeah, I'm one of those types of people. So every now and then, you just need to give yourself a little pat on the back. So yeah, I think some of the habits that make me effective in being an entrepreneur, right, and being able to not drop the balls are just staying on top of things. I can be very detail oriented. I'm also quite responsive, and so the fact that I tend to be very responsive in terms of communication when I'm working on projects, and clients reaching out to us to have, you know, the initial kickoff calls and trying to set up potential projects, because I'm responsive and because I'm also always writing everything down, it allows me not to drop the ball. But because I'm also responsive, I think that can be there can be a downside to that as well. So I'm also very aware of that, because, you know, you have to always manage work and life. Right. And if you're constantly responding very quickly, or, you know, always there for the client, sometimes you forget to be there for yourself.
So, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the customer side of your business, just because you are a consumer-centric consultancy. I like saying that.
Yeah.
what is it that you do? Responsiveness is one of the things that you mentioned to help cultivate relationships with your clients. Is there anything in particular that you do to stay in touch with their specific needs and make sure that you're always maybe one step ahead of them or know what it is that you need to provide?
Yeah, so we do a lot of, when you think about insights, we're all about surveying, right? When you think about a market research company or consumer insights company. So we believe in getting feedback. I am all about when you close out a project. I was actually on a call today that was a project closeout. So we have a process in place where we finish a project with you. We want to have a call and talk about what was your experience. Even if I'm not the one that's leading that project, I want to check in and find out how you're feeling. Did it meet your expectations? And we also do surveying. So we send out project closeout surveys to get an understanding, so someone can submit that anonymously and just let us know how they feel about the work that we were doing. And did we meet or exceed their expectations, or did we not meet at all their expectations?
Okay.
For my matters, it's interesting because I'm oftentimes working with new or aspiring authors, right? So they need more handholding. And that's a good thing because it keeps us connected. So I'm always getting feedback because I'm constantly temperature checking. I'm constantly making sure, you know, you're not overwhelmed, are you? You don't, because our job is to lessen the stress and complexity, is not to add to it.
Right.
And so one of the things we're always doing is just asking questions. We're always asking for feedback. We're sending out surveys and just checking in.
Right.
I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's interesting that sometimes business owners and brand owners forget to just ask, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know,
whenever you get that feedback, I know with surveys it's documented, but whenever you're just with your normal conversations, do you document kind of the things that you hear over and over again, or does it just kind of stay logged in your head and like, okay, I got this. This is person's feeling overwhelmed when we get to this point in the process.
No, so that's actually a good point. For the publishing clients, that's why that's been great, because it has actually helped inform a lot of the process that we have. And so the process changes that we've actually incorporated as well, because we started to see if there's a pattern of, hey, we really need to have a set schedule and we allow additional time during this part of the schedule, because this is when the authors or the new clients start to feel a little bit jittery. For instance, when it's time for their cover reveal, they're very excited, but they're also, it starts to hit them like, wow, this is real. This is about to happen.
Right.
We're about to, you know, when they start to get, there are just moments that are those pivotal moments in the process. And so as you're kind of going through and working with more and more clients, you hear very similar things, and you can, even if they're not saying I'm stressed, overwhelmed, they may just say, wow, okay, I'm, wow. That wow says something.
Right.
You know, that wow tells us something. So it could be a good wow too, but yeah, that is really writing it down enough to help inform what changes that we need to make. And some of it probably is just logged. I probably hear it and have an awareness of it, and I don't always log it.
So one of the other things about relationships that I wanted to ask you is, because one of the things that I admire about you a lot is just how well you are able to connect with other people and connect other people. So you've got your relationships with your clients, but what do you do? Do you put any particular emphasis on making sure that you cultivate just beneficial business relationships or relationships with other entrepreneurs or other people, whether or not it means like you're going after a project, just to kind of, you know, build your network? How do you go about doing that?
I think in some ways, everybody always tries to find an answer to some of these questions, right? And then I've tried to figure out some of this stuff, and some of it I think is just natural. It's just who you are. Mm-hmm. If you have a natural, I don't know, maybe an, I think when I define myself, when I describe it, I think I have a natural, unwavering commitment to empathy. Okay. And so I think it's made me very effective in terms of being a business owner and in terms of working with different types of clients. And I think it makes it is it, it helps me and strengthen relationships with other people that could be business owners or just people on the street, right? Because people feel like I connect with them, and most of the times it's because I always try to figure out what experience I've had or how I've walked in their shoes in some kind of way. And so I don't really know what the tools would be or the steps would be or how to tell someone else to do it. I think it's just, I don't know. I'm always just trying to find the common ground, and maybe that's it. Just trying to find that common ground with someone else. Right. Just trying to figure out. And most of the times I don't have to search too hard. I mean, you start talking to someone and you, if you actually have an interest in hearing them, knowing who they are, finding out more about them, you'll find out that we aren't, you know, that much different. And we all are we're a lot more alike than we are different. And so I think that, has really been a benefit to me in terms of business. And, from a business standpoint as well, it has allowed me to see where there may be gaps or opportunities. Mm-hmm. So it could easily be, hey, you know, this person has a gap or an opportunity in their business, or this project has a need, because I'm able to see where other people may have strengths, or, you know, they bring some skill set to the table that I don't. I'm able to see a need or an opportunity for us to work together. And other people see that, and they see that, or I'm able to just bring them into a project that I'm not even involved in. I don't make any money off of it. I don't get anything from it, but I understand that it can be beneficial for them. And you do things like that for people enough, they start to realize that you're not just somebody trying to take something or get something. You're trying to add value in some way. And people tend to appreciate people that add value. So you want to kind of keep them around. So for I think that's a part of it. I don't know. Did that answer your question?
It did. Okay. It was super helpful. And I think empathy is a skill that not enough people try to cultivate, but it's necessary, especially as you're dealing with customers and trying to serve them and understand them. You have to have a level of empathy to be able to do that effectively. So
I agree. Thank you.
Whenever entrepreneurs start their business, or as they're thinking about making that transition, a lot of times their biggest fear is, will I be able to get clients? Will people pay me? Will I make enough money? Now, you've been in business for a couple of years now. What would you say is your biggest fear now? It could be the same one, but like, what would you say now that you've been operating for a little bit and you've got something that works? What is the thing that you fear now, or that causes you the most worry or angst?
I think it's, I don't know. It's interesting because a part of me feels like it's knowing, like having clarity of vision, understanding what I want for the business, understanding the life that I want to lead, understanding where I want the businesses to go. And the fear is losing my own momentum, like losing the get up and go, the motivation to go make it happen, and getting comfortable. So that's probably, I would probably say that is getting comfortable, is getting a little bit too lazy. You know, sometimes working for yourself can make you not, I mean, you're hungry because, I mean, you only eat and have lights, right? Mm-hmm. If you make money, but, you can kind of lose, you can get comfortable. You can have people that are friends and that mean well tell you, hey, this is great. You're achieving, you're doing something awesome. But if they don't necessarily understand your vision, or they don't live inside of your vision, then it's hard for them to know that even though this is great, what I have visualized and where I really want to go and what I want is beyond where I am now. So I can celebrate and I can be happy for where I am now, but I don't want to get too comfortable. Okay. And I think it's easy sometimes to get comfortable if everybody is telling you that where you are, it almost makes you feel like it's good enough. Like you're trying to do something that you shouldn't do. And in actuality, it's like, well, that is what I want. So am I wrong for going after what I want?
Got it. No, that's a great way to think about it, because it evolves, but the business isn't only about making money. Like there are other goals that you would have for yourself, and you want to be able to, of course, enjoy the lifestyle that your business enables you to live, right?
So yes. I mean, and we've talked about that, right? Like, having a very clear understanding of how you want your days to be spent.
Right.
Where do you want to spend those days? Do you want to spend them in an office, or do you want to spend, and if your office is in the US or abroad, if your office is in by a beach or, you know,
right,
on the beach. So what do you want your life to be? How many hours do you want to work? What kind of team do you want to build? All of that takes time. And, you know, you have to make sure that you're taking the steps to get you to where you want to be. But it can get comfortable when people are bringing you contracts, and,
right,
and the money is what makes you a little bit comfortable, but there are things that you have visualized beyond the money. So yeah, I know you get that.
So have you had to sit down and intentionally say, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to be able, that's different from what I'm doing now, to get to what my vision is?
Well, yes, okay. I have. And it's interesting because I'll tell people this, that go into business, like, it's not always clear at the very beginning. At the very beginning, you have some clarity.
Right.
You understand a part of what your overall plan will be.
Right.
And, right. You need to have enough of that vision and enough clarity to be able to launch it and move forward. But even from the start of, especially the site set, right, even from the start of that business, I started with a partner. We started with a positioning that's very different than it is today. And so that business has evolved over the last few years. And so, I mean, you start out in one place, but it can get to a different place.
Like, how did you, you know, recognize that I've got to maybe say no to this contract? Like, let's say, you know what I mean? Like, how do you start to shift things so that you can actually live?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question because you're so timely, Sonia. You're so timely. Because in the last few days, I've been doing a lot of thinking with mind matters. And, you know, it's great because time of year, you know, you're getting into a new year, everybody's talking about resolutions or vision board parties and life planning, right? And so it's been great. And it's really thinking about that business in a different way because, you know, a couple of years ago, or even 1 year ago, my matter was just a nice to have. Just to be very honest, it was a passion, but I wasn't going after it with the same amount of focus and commitment than I do with, and I have done with SiteSet. Mm-hmm. And so it was almost like an add-on versus it really being a primary focus. And so now just seeing what's happened with it and how the business has grown and how it's, you know, I've far exceeded my own expectations for year one and year one of taking on clients and doing more client publishing consulting work. I don't know. It's interesting because I've been in the last few weeks, really thinking about where the business is going to go. And that means having to turn down, as you were saying, having to turn down certain types of work, even on the site set side, understanding how I'm bringing the businesses together has been a big focus area of mine. And so now I have the understanding of what that's going to look like. We can talk about that at another time.
Yes.
But yeah, I have a very clear understanding of what that will be, what that will look like. And it does mean I've had to say no to projects. I have to really reevaluate how I split my time, how I think about my time. And it gets scary all over again. I think as an entrepreneur, you get fears and deal with some of this fear, like all over again. You go through it, you go through the cycle and you're great and you're patting yourself on the back and you're feeling good. And then something else comes up. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this again. Oh, this uncertainty again. Oh, okay. So, I mean, maybe one day we'll be a pros at it because we've done it enough, right?
Well, I mean, that's part of the growth process and you always need to be growing. So I think we probably just need to get used to feeling this feeling. All right. Well, what would you say are your three keys to success?
Three keys to success. So I would go back to our original, our conversation on empathy.
Mm-hmm.
I think in order to be successful, clearly I believe that it's allowed me to forge really strong and significant relationships and partnerships. And it helps me in terms of, it strengthens my relationship with clients and customers. So I think being empathetic is a huge key to success. I think all entrepreneurs should be that way. And just like you were saying, having vision, as we were just talking about, having clarity of vision is extremely important, right? Knowing where you're going, you know, what's your North Star. And then one of the things I would say, and I don't know how much people really talk about it, is focus on finance. And I don't mean that in terms of focus on the dollars and cents, like the exact numbers and only go after money and let that be the driver. But I mean that in terms of you can't have a successful business if you're not, you know, being fiscally responsible, if you're mm-hmm. not thinking about your profit margins, if you're not thinking about your operating expenses and, you know, making some decisions in your business that will help secure the stability of your and ensure the stability of your business. And so I know as consultants, we struggle with that because it becomes easy to, you know, to make arbitrary number, to make $100 and feel like, oh, I made $100, but we don't count. Well, I had to drive here and,
right.
and then I spent this amount on gas and then it took this many, it took 5 hours. And it's like, when you really boil that down, you realize, wow, I didn't really make
right.
a lot of money. Like, you know what I mean? The way we think about money is different. So we have to make sure that we're managing our books appropriately, because you can sell a lot of widgets, but if you're not, you know, you don't have a focus on your finances, your business can go down the tubes very quickly, right? Or you can have no money in the end and you're wondering, how did I sell all those widgets and don't have a dollar to show for it?
Right.
And so I think being successful, you know, you have all those things like drive and passion and motivation. They're great, but you also need to know your numbers. That's very important.
Very good. And something that not a lot of people talk about, but it is very important. So you know where to focus your energy.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, this has been great. What can we expect to see from you in the future?
Well, for my matters, a lot of clients, so a lot of new books coming out. Mm-hmm. We're working on a few right now. So getting into some different genres is going to be very interesting and exciting. Some innovation coming. So some things, as I was saying, kind of that how we're blending and really leveraging the knowledge that we have on the site set side to really power some of the things that we want to do on the My Matter side. That's a big piece. And then for site set, it's really going to be more trainings and speaking. And so I haven't done a lot of work in the, you know, public speaking space with site set and really talking about insights and giving trainings, but we're doing more with going to talk to small business owners and entrepreneurs that are out there and kind of traveling a little bit and telling people, giving people the tools that they need to be successful.
Sweet. And where can people find you?
Siteset.com. That's two S's in the middle. Mind Matters Publishing, MYNDMATTERS publishing.com. On Facebook, we are at Mind Matters Publishing and we are at Siteset Consulting. And that's it. That's where you can find us.
All right. And I'll have all that information in the show notes. All right, Renita, this has been fantastic. I can talk to you for hours and we have talked for hours, so I know it's possible. But before I let you go, I do have one other question just to kind of dig into your mind a little more. And that's to deliver a line from a movie that sticks out to you and explain why you chose that.
So my favorite movie is A Few Good Men. Have you had people do lines from A Few Good Men before?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's been a couple of repeats, but nah, not from A Few Good Men.
Really? Okay. So, because I thought about Coming to America when she says whatever you like, because we're a consumer-centric company, like we're consumer-centric consultancies, right? And so that makes sense. But I have to deliver, you know, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. I want the truth. You can't handle the truth. That's my favorite.
Perfect. I love it. And you delivered it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So why did you choose that one?
Because it's interesting. I love that moment where he's saying, you know, it's kind of all come to a head and it's like, it's on the tip of Jack Nicholson's tongue. He wants to say it. Tom Cruise knows he wants to say it, but he can't. He's not supposed to really say it, right? And it's so many times in life, like there are things that we want to say. I was talking to a friend and we were talking about being entrepreneurs. You know, we tell people to go after, to be introspective, to be true to who you are and be confident in who you are and to know yourself, right? But then when somebody actually knows themselves and they say, you know, I'm a giving person, I'm trustworthy, I'm honest, I'm loyal, we think they're egotistical. We think that they're full of themselves. And so it's interesting because it's like knowing the truth, you know, sometimes people fight against the truth that you know. And so in business, you have to know yourself. That is the truth. You have to know your strengths, your weaknesses, and your opportunities, right? So to me, I don't know. It's just, I think clients want that. Clients want the truth. That's the whole empathy part. They want to know that you understand. So it's just, the truth is very important.
It is. And I just going back to your last point about knowing your numbers, a lot of people don't look at their numbers because they can't handle what their numbers are actually telling them.
They can't handle the truth.
Right. Renita, this has been so much fun. Thank you again for stopping by and sharing your experiences and your wisdom with us.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me, Sonia.
Renita had so many cool things to share, but there was one thing that stood out to me in particular. And that brings us to today's I Am the One challenge. What is a business that you want to build that enables you to live the lifestyle you want to live? Sometimes our passions and what pays the bills don't always align right away, but with some soul searching, strategic decisions, and focused effort, you can absolutely make it happen. Think about it, and then once you've got your answer, head on over to iamtheone.fm/blueprint and get signed up for that free mini course so you can start putting these important lessons to work in your business today. Until next time, keep working on building your dream business so you can make life better. Somebody's waiting on you. Thanks for listening.